I know this is going to be a shock, but the message that is up there is correct. Actually, I might add a couple verses, but it's the right passage, so you can go ahead and turn there. We love the opportunity to get together, and we want to take that time this morning to just be in God's Word. And sometimes it's such a popular passage. Sometimes with Christmas and with Easter, you get those two popular passages or so, and you have a tendency just to kind of glaze over them sometimes. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to stop, first of all, and just say to yourself why you're here. And just go to God as we open this in prayer, and just be able to be honest with Him and ask Him to speak to you while you're here today. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 24, so if you're there by now, I'm going to start reading, and so if you'd read along with me. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing spices with them they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about that, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." Let's pray. Father God, as we look at your word today, I pray that you would open our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be receptive to what you have to say to us. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity. Lord, move in this place. We pray it in your name. Amen. As we come today to celebrate, we read this passage of the empty tomb, and we know that all across the world there are people going and celebrating Easter, and they're celebrating the risen Savior. But I wonder if they're celebrating their personal risen Savior. I wonder if it really means anything to them other than Easter eggs, time off, time with family. I wonder what it really means to us all. Because we know that this is a day that we celebrate the fact that he rose from that grave, that he's no longer in the tomb. All the other religions in this world celebrate somebody that's still in the tomb, but not us. We celebrate a risen Savior. We come together today. Some got up this morning. Some will celebrate later into the night the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we do that this year. It was in April. Next year, I think, on the calendar, it's going to be in March. But I wonder how we celebrate it tomorrow. And I wonder how we celebrate it next Sunday. And the next Tuesday. And the next Friday. I want us to look at this passage this morning. And as we think about what these people saw when they went to the tomb, I want us to look at several different things. But I want us to look inside as much as anything. Here we have these women as they come to the tomb. And the custom was that they would go to the body and they would prepare spices. And these spices they would put on the body to take care or to maybe cover up some of the smell. And it was not the preparation for burial, but it was after. And they would prepare these spices. And so they bring these spices to put on a dead body. And I've always wondered about that passage or that verse in here where he says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And I thought about that all week. I've thought about it in years past too. They were looking for somebody that was dead. They weren't looking for a living Savior. And as I thought about that, I thought that question doesn't really fit them. Maybe that question was to spur them on to look for the living. And you know, too many times I've come to church in the time that I've grown up. I'm 60 years old, and in the time that I've come to church, there's been probably way too many, I'll just say that, way too many times that I've came to church to hear about history that never affected my present or my future. Here, this angel says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" How many times have we come to church to hear about the dead in our mind? Because he's living. If he's not living in you, that does not mean he's not living. If you don't believe in him, if he doesn't affect your daily life, or at least you don't think he affects your daily life, that doesn't mean he's not living. He's still living, it's just we're missing out. That's what it comes down to. But I want to focus first, I want to focus on three things today. If you take notes, it's spices, the stone, and the empty tomb. You can write those down if you want to. But I want to look at those spices. Here we have these women bringing these spices to put on the body, a dead body. And I get to thinking, when we come to church, do we just, that was their ritual. That was what they did. That was what society did. Society would bring spices and put on the dead body. You just do what had been passed down. That's what you always did. And so Mary and these other women, they prepared spices and they took them to the tomb because that's what you do. How many times have you and I came to church because that's what you do? We come to church because, well, my grandma did and my parents did and so I do. And now my kids do because I did. And that's a great way to pass things down. But that's not why we come. We need to be coming to this church or whatever church you choose to go to that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be going because there's a living God being worshipped there. That's what we have to be doing. We can't be going bringing spices. We can't come just because that's what we do. That's what people expect of us. My phone even expects me to come to church on Sunday morning. It will say 4 minutes to the church. Four minutes to Inglewood Drive. My phone even expects me to come to church. Yours probably does the same thing. We don't do it because we're expected. Because, you know, I looked through the Gospels and through several commentaries, and it's not there. What happened to the spices? Nobody's going to answer that because nobody knows. But they weren't used. Everything that they prepared was not used. They were useless spices for a living God. And it's the same way when I bring myself here and I bring my rituals, my habits, my expectations of just coming to church because that's what I do, those are useless to a living God. But look at all the time I prepared. I got dressed up. I always come. I try to get here early. If it's just part of a ritual, it's useless to a living God. The women probably figured that out. What they did with those spices, I don't know. Were they dropped beside the tomb? Did they carry them back home? Did they get out of confusion, just crush them in their hands? What did they do with them? I don't know. They may have took them back home. We don't know. And when you come here or I come here out of ritual habit, no one will ever know. There will never be a value to those habits, to a living God. It says that the women got there and they saw the stone was rolled away. This is a large stone. It was protected by guards. It was there. And they get there and they see this stone rolled away. And I wonder about that stone. We know that Jesus didn't have to have that stone removed for him to get out of that grave. We know that wasn't the case. It tells us that in the other gospel that the angel came down and rolled the stone away. That stone was rolled away so that those women would have access to that empty tomb. Had that stone been sealed up when they got there, what would they have ever known? Nothing. But God made a way by moving that stone out of the way for them to see that Jesus wasn't in there. So that stone, depending on where it's at, is either a gateway to see what God has done, or if it's still there, it is what's hindering those women from getting to Jesus and seeing that His body is gone. That stone could be useless if it's still in the wrong spot. And so they come with useless spices and they see a stone that really doesn't benefit them as far as they know in any way, shape, or form. And then they look in this empty tomb. And when they first look in, they know it's a tomb that's been used. It's not a tomb that they need. It's a tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and he's still alive. He doesn't need it. And so they see a useless, empty tomb. Because they went to the tomb looking for a dead man. When you come to church and you're not looking for a living God, if you're not looking into His Word, if you're not striving to seek Him with all of your heart, then everything you brought is useless. And everything you find is going to be useless. Now I know God can interrupt our lives and interrupt our patterns and our plans. But if you're not going to seek Him, the Scripture says if you seek Him, He'll be found by you. If you don't seek Him, then the opposite is probably going to happen. We come with useless spices, and sometimes when we're not looking at it the right way, we just see a useless stone. Well, the tomb is not very important if it doesn't have a stone. There are things that seem really important, but it's a useless stone. But when God moved that stone out of the way, they were able to see that empty tomb. And so what they saw was that Jesus was no longer there. When we look at this and what these women did that day, things change depending on their heart. They started out looking for a dead man, a dead body in a place where dead people are buried. We do the same thing sometimes. But let's look at a change of attitude. Let's look at these women and let's look at the fact that, let's say they come out of love and they bring everything they have to offer. They don't have much else. And so they bring everything they have to offer. And why did they bring those spices? They brought them out of love. See how we look at this and it changes it? When we look at it that these women did what they did out of love versus they did it out of ritual, it changes everything. When you come in those doors, if you come in out of a love for God and you're seeking Him versus you come in here out of a ritual habit, it's going to change everything. So be careful. They get there. They've brought everything they have to offer God. Man, all they've got spices. I'm just going to bring it. This was Jesus, and they crucified Him, and they buried Him. And I'm just going to bring Him everything I have to offer. And when they come, they find that stone rolled away. And they're able to look into that tomb. And because they came out of love, because they came with everything they had to offer, they see that stone is rolled away. In the other gospel, it says, how are we going to get in? Who's going to roll the stone away for us? And they get there and it's already rolled away. And so they know that God has made a way to see what He's done. Every Sunday when you walk in this church, when you open your Bible anytime during your quiet time, your devotion, a Bible study, whatever, when you open it out of love to see what you, and give Him everything you have to offer, you will see how He's made the way. He's made the way on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on that cross and He ripped that veil in half from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top. It was Him. And He ripped that veil in half to make a way so that I would no longer need a priest. You would no longer need a priest to come to Him. I could boldly go before the throne of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ when He made it available through His death on the cross, His shed blood. Well, how are you saying that's the same as a stone that's been rolled away? Who rolled that stone away? My God did. To make a way, to show the world, to show these women that my son's no longer in that grave. We need to look every day, not just once a year come and celebrate that stone being rolled away and Jesus not being in that grave. Every single day of your life, Jesus Christ is making a way. He made a way for me to have a relationship with Him through the blood of Jesus. But He also makes a way every day for me to be able to walk with Him, for me to be able to experience Him, for the Holy Spirit to dwell within us as Christians. He has made a way. Like the song says, when there seems to be no way, He will make a way. But you will only see that way when you come out of love, seeking Him with everything you have. Otherwise, you're just going to see a stone. Otherwise, you're going to see a useless stone unless you're looking for the way that God makes for you that day. That empty tomb, the stone is gone, it's out of the way. She comes out of love with everything she has to offer. She sees that God has made a way to get into that tomb, and she looks in there and she realizes that her Savior is no longer in there. Changes everything. It transforms from just a useless, empty, used, borrowed, empty tomb to proof that her Savior is alive. What does that tomb mean to us? Well, on a Sunday morning, if I come in here out of habit and I bring Him what I have, which is not much, but it's out of habit, I'm going to see that stone, I'm going to see that empty tomb. But if I will come here seeking Him with everything I have, and I look for the way that He will make a way in my life, then I will experience the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and not just once a year, but every day. His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is so great. As we look at this and we see this, these spices, this stone, and this empty tomb, I want to ask you a question. And this is not a question for just today, but this is a question for every Sunday that you can think of in the past and that you maybe will look forward to in the future. What did you bring? Why'd you bring it? When you came here, did you come out of habit? Or did you come because you love Jesus Christ? And you wanted to celebrate Him being alive? What you bring determines what you're going to find when you get here. If you come here out of love for Him and you're seeking Him, then you will find what He has for you to find. If you come out of habit, you're probably not going to find much. What you bring determines what you find. And then what you find determines what you take away. Think about these women. They come to this tomb and they find that Jesus Christ's body is no longer there, and they immediately run back to the disciples and they tell them. They took away what they found. How many times have I come to church, have you come to church, when I came with the wrong attitude, I didn't bring much. Because of that, I didn't find much. And because of that, I didn't take much away with me. But you know, there are times when I come with the right attitude, when I come seeking my Savior and a closer relationship with Him, and when I get here, I find what He has for me to find, and it begins to change me, and then I have to make a choice. Am I going to take away from here what I find? Well, I thought it was just for me. I thought God just wanted to cause me to grip the front of that pew a little tighter. God just wanted to stir in my heart something that needs to be changed. That may be true, but what you find determines what you take away and who you take it away to. Oh, we just got a little personal there, didn't we? Because the issue is, when we come and we seek Him and we find Him and we find what He has for us, we know that we serve a risen Savior. And I take it with me, but I keep it inside. Because those people that I'm around, all they don't want to hear that. If they wanted to hear it, they would come to church. What we find determines what we take with us. And it will determine if we're willing to share that with other people. So when you came this morning or last week or the week before, the month before, or whenever, did you come looking for a living Savior? Well, we come to celebrate the fact that Jesus has risen from the grave. But look at it this way. Have you ever went to somebody's birthday party and you celebrated their birthday with them, then you turned around and left, and you didn't speak to them for who knows how long? Well, they only have a birthday every year. Well, you expect me to see them more than that? We celebrate, but we don't take it with us to where it changes us. Can you imagine running away from that tomb going, you just had an angel tell you that he's not there, he's risen. And they reminded you of the things that he told you. He told you three times. Jesus said that I'm going to be arrested and handed over and crucified and on the third day rise again. He told that to them three times. This angel reminds them. Jesus told you himself he would rise on the third day. Are we looking daily for a risen Savior? Do we look for the ways that He provides for us on a daily basis? Do we want the change? As we close, I want us to, again, stop and think. What spices do you bring? And why do you bring them? Which side of the stone do you see? And has that empty tomb done anything to you lately? That's where we're at. That's where we have to be, because tomorrow is not Easter. Tuesday's not Easter. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next Sunday's not Easter. But you still have just as much to celebrate. I have just as much to celebrate. But if you were to ask somebody halfway through the week, hey, is Steve celebrating Jesus today? I would hate to think what they told you. If we're going to celebrate Him today, we celebrate what He's done. Then we need to celebrate what He's done every day. That's where we're at. We wonder why people aren't flooding to the church. It's because they're not experiencing the love of Jesus. Why aren't they experiencing the love of Jesus? Now, this may be harsh, but I'm including myself, putting myself right there, because we are not experiencing the love of Jesus. I'm not saying that we're not showing it. Obviously, there's a lot of times that I don't. But I think we're missing out on experiencing the love of Jesus too. There are people that lost that know nothing about the love of Jesus. But there are more people that are Christians that are love Jesus, but they're missing out on experiencing the love He has for us. Oh, I love Him. I want to serve Him. You can't do that until you experience the love He has for you. Because when we experience the love it took for the Son of God to come to the earth, to die on the cross, so that I could live, when I understand that love and I experience that love, then and only then can I love Him back. I will never love Him until I think about, till I experience the love He has for me. Well, I've experienced a little bit of His love. It's changed a little bit of my life. He doesn't want a little bit of my life. He wants it all. And He wants all of yours too. I'm going to leave with this. Sometimes coaching, when a batter goes into the batter's box and they don't have a quality at bat, quality at bat is when you cause that pitcher to throw at least seven, eight pitches at least. You may not get a hit, you may pop out, you may even strike out, but you at least had a quality at bat. That's what I'm talking about. When a batter goes up there and they swing at three pitches out of the strike zone, there's no way that's a quality at bat. And you talk to them, and then they go back up there the next time and they have the same three pitches and the same three swings and the same result. And then again the next time, it's the same result. If you don't change what you're doing, it will never change the result. For us as Christians, if the result we have is not experiencing the love of Jesus Christ, if we don't change what we're doing, it's not going to change the result. And it's not somebody else's fault. It's not Jesus' fault. It's not my parents. It's not my grandparents. It's not the society I live in. If you're not experiencing the love of Jesus Christ, it's your fault. But He's standing there waiting for you with His arms outstretched saying, I'm here and I love you. And I want you to experience my love every day of your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much. We thank You that we can come here and celebrate. We thank You for the love. Thank You, God, for never giving up on me. Lord, I pray for each person in this place, each person maybe watching online, that we would understand what it means to experience the love of Jesus Christ. God, change us. Draw us close to You. If there's anyone in this place that does not know You as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that You would draw them. I pray that You would draw them in a way that only You can, that they might see the love of Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.